Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we see in your word that we are your sons and your daughters. And Lord, our desire is that we would honor and glorify you in our lives and in our homes. Lord, we know that that's your desire. You said that you want godly offspring. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us. I pray that you would heal hearts this morning, just as you have healed us, Lord, and filled us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would give hearts to forgive, that we might walk according to your word and honor mothers and fathers in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I'm going to read it. We're only going to do the first four verses. We're going to talk about children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There are four places. There are only four places in the Bible where children, where the scripture addresses children directly. Much of the Proverbs, and then also if you've been going with us through the Proverbs, much of the Proverbs in and of itself addresses children. Solomon addressing his sons and his daughters. But the commands directly related to children are found in Exodus 20:12. And it's all the same. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then Deuteronomy 5:16, it's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then he gives us here in Ephesians and he adds this in, we'll talk about it, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And then in Colossians 3:20, Paul writes, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, we need to keep in mind, this letter would have been read in the congregation. And so Paul isn't really talking about toddlers and 1- and 2- and 3-year-olds. But it's sons and daughters who would have been of age to understand the commandments and were at that age where they could start being instructed in God's word. In Jewish culture, the meeting place in each community was the synagogue. Beth and I, when we were in Israel, we got to go, God bless you, and visit the synagogue, one that had just been unearthed not too long ago. And it was kind of neat to see how it was set up. But the synagogue wasn't just one big room where the adults went for the reading of the Word of God and then the instruction or the teaching of the Word of God. It was the community center. And so while the parents were there, there was also a room where the children would be taught and instructed in God's word. In fact, the synagogue was the school for the community where the children would actually go to school. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, God's heart is always, always, always for the next generation. His instruction was always to pass down his word, the truths that are involved that are within God's word are to be passed to the children so that they would know the right way to go. And it all rests upon the family. And we talked about the family last week and how important it is. In context, Paul first instructs that we're to be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he says how that looks in a Spirit-filled home. The Spirit-filled wife will volunteer, or is to voluntarily submit to the God-directed order for the home, not enslaving oneself to the authority of the husband, but as her service and obedience to God. It says, as to the Lord. And the Spirit-filled husband is to love his wife. He's to lead by his own submission and obedience to Jesus Christ, sacrificially and selflessly honoring her, the wife, in the home as Christ loves his church. So the context here is to children in the church who at least has one believing parent. Remember, we talked about it in 1 Corinthians that Paul stipulates that if there is a believing husband or a believing wife, if there's only one believing parent in the home, that home is sanctified by the believing parent. And the command to honor, now, and understand this, the command is to honor. Paul also adds in obey, okay? And so the command to honor is to be carried throughout one's life. The Bible instructs that a son or daughter ultimately will take care, and it was a tradition, we're going to take a look at that. Jesus addresses that with the Pharisees and the priests, to take care of one's parents in their old age. I know some, and listen, and whenever we get into this, you know, obey your parents, honor your parents, I understand not everybody has come from a Christian home. Not everybody has come from a loving home. Some have come from abusive homes. Homes where a parent or was absent. Some raised by grandmothers or aunts. I understand that. And, you know, you may very well have learned how not to live from your parents' examples, to not follow ungodly instruction. And to not follow ungodly instruction is not being disobedient, okay? But not everybody has parents who are walking with the Lord, but Paul is writing to men and women whose lives have been transformed by him. The Bible instructs us to obey those who are in authority, though, in understanding this, because there is caveats to this. We don't obey blindly, right? We're to obey the authority, those who are in authority, except when they try and require us to do something that goes against God's word, God's instruction in righteousness. It happened to the disciples. Remember, the disciples were preaching the gospel, and they were beaten. They were taken to jail, arrested, and the authorities, the Pharisees, told them that they were not to preach about this Jesus. They were causing too much of a commotion and stirring people up. And so they said, "You shall not preach the name of Jesus." And Peter's simple response was, "We ought to obey God rather than men." There are a couple of places that Paul addresses the culture that the church was contending with, and that as Paul is writing this, obviously, to the church at Ephesus and those in that area. The Roman culture was a morally bankrupt culture. A Roman father actually had absolute authority in his home. He had the authority that when a child, one of his children were born, if it was a male child and it was offered to him and he received that male child into his hand, then that was him accepting that child and into the home as his son, and that son had the authority of the father. Sadly, if there was a female child born, the father could reject the female child if he did not receive the child into his arms. And that child could possibly be left at the place where it was born to die. A son that was not received by the father would be sold into slavery. And a daughter that was not received often would die from starvation, just be left to its own demise. That was the Roman authority, the head of the household. And so understand the cultural context, too, of what Paul is writing to us this morning. He had authority to treat his children however he wanted to. He even had the authority to determine life and death for anybody in his family. And it was unquestioned. Paul wrote this, two places, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And then verses 2 through 5, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God," which is certainly the majority of our culture today, "having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away." And then in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." And it's certainly indicative and sounds like the same culture that we are living in today. Paul here completed God's plan for a godly home as he now addresses the children of the home. And he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It is very simple instruction for children. When you look at what Paul is saying here, he says, obedience is the activity of a child, or the activity that is called to, the action, and honor is the attitude. And he said, this is right. Have you noticed that children do not need to be taught disobedience? I didn't always obey my parents. And it almost always led to me finding out why it was wise to obey them. Obedience needs to be, it's something that's taught. And it's often the consequences of disobeying that teaches a child the reason that they need to obey. You know, it's beyond, you know, sometimes you, the kids might think that you're just being a cosmic bummer and you're trying to, you know, ruin their fun and keep them from having fun. And it takes them a while to understand that we've been there and we've done that. And the reason why we're instructing them in these things and not suggesting, but command that they not go down there is because we want them to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that we've fallen into in our lives. But they tend to want to resist it. They want to experience it for themselves. But we know ahead of time what the results are going to be. And it needs to be taught. We say, don't touch that. Don't go over there. Stay away from that person, those kids. And the lesson may be learned from the result of disobeying, or it may need to be taught through discipline. Training up a child involves instruction and discipline, consistency on the part of the parents. And so I believe we're looking at this because Paul is talking about a godly home. This is more directed at those who are raising godly children than it is to children themselves. Here's why you should or should not do that. And if you choose to disobey, then here are the consequences How often have you had that discussion with your children? You see, what Paul is laying out here is that obedience is the responsibility of the parents here. Spirit-filled, godly parents. Listen, and here, you know, we'll chuckle, but your child is a filthy, rotten little sinner. And they're cute. They're so cute, right? But they are not just going to obey because the Bible commands them to, or because you told them to, or you told them so. Every one of these little rascals are different. If you've had more than one. Just when, you know, Beth and I, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. Hannah came into our world, and just when we thought we were getting it down with her, along comes PJ. Right? And everything that worked with Hannah didn't work with PJ. And so you're relearning it all over again. And through the years, each of them have responded differently, right, to the rules. They have certainly tested the boundaries along the way. And know this, here is the truth. Your children are imperfect observers of imperfect examples. Yet they need to see in their parents the reason they need to obey their parents' instruction. They have, like I said, they have baloney meters. You ever notice that? The do as I say, not as I do message is a mixed message to a child and one of the first messages they're going to call you on. I can't tell you how many times. If I told PJ or Hannah to do something, they go, why not? You do it. Kind of disarm you, right? Disarms you. And don't be surprised if they disobey you, if you're not exemplifying it in your own life. The rules they are to live by should be the same rules that govern your life and govern your home. Amen. And it says, obey your parents in the Lord. The first application here is this. Parents, are you setting an example, a godly example for your son and sons and daughters to follow? Let me ask you this. Have you ever confronted your child for what you considered inappropriate behavior, attitude, or language, and their response is, well, I've heard you say it. I saw you do it. We're to be godly examples in our home. We expect our children to walk in those examples and to walk in obedience. It is a reflection of our obedience to what God has commanded and God's call to holiness in our lives, to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God. And I'm going to jump 2 and 3 because this is here's the qualifier. You fathers, or in addressing the parent, you fathers, and there's a reason why he says you fathers provoke. We tend to be a little harder on the children. The mothers are usually a little bit more lenient. Wait till your father gets home, right? Beth didn't like the disciplinary part of it. She left that up to me. And we had to be consistent. You have to be consistent in that. You can't let it go. If you've warned the children that they've been disobedient or they've erred in some way and dad's going to address it, then that needs to be communicated. It needs to be addressed. But that's kind of the way that it happened in our homes. Beth didn't like the disciplinary stuff. And I needed to be in the right spirit before I addressed those things. And I erred. I mean, just be honest. I messed up sometimes when it came to addressing, you know, PJ discovering his princely position in the home, right? Or Hannah was Hannah. She was relentless. If she wanted to do something and you disagreed with what she wanted to do, or you said, no, that's, you know, Hannah, no, you may not do that. Why? Well, because I said so. Why? Well, because, you know, some of you are laughing because you've had children like that before. But it was, it was really my position. So this warning, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of a Lord, of the Lord. And so being a godly example, often I would say, don't talk back to your mother. But here's what could happen. If you're not being the loving husband in your home as you are called to be, you may hear the response, why not? That's how you talk to her. Has that ever happened to you? Or you may tell your children, mothers, respect your father. And they may respond, why? You don't respect your husband. And so it's important that we listen and understand the commands that come before this, because those are the foundation of a godly home, and it's the foundation for our children to walk in obedience, right? The rules that are set up in the home, but the rules that also govern our lives. It's interesting that obey means to hear under. It's to heed or to conform to a command. And fathers, if you want obedient children, it means to bring them under the training and the admonition of the Lord. Not because the Bible says so, but because this is what the Bible and what the truth of God's Word and what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. And this is the right way. Well, didn't you used to do this when you were younger? Yes. But God has changed my life, and I recognize and realize that it was the wrong way to go. You know, they're going to, hey, drinking, drugs, all the other things. I was a scoundrel until Christ changed my life. And now, those things, And I love my parents. I had great parents. My parents were the best. My father was raised in a home with a drunk father that would disappear. And so what he did is he determined that when he started a family, that he wasn't going to drink. Now, I know that I think early on that wasn't the case, but growing up, I never saw my father drink. The only problem was there was alcohol in the house for people that would come over and stuff like that. And so, you know, and I'm not making an excuse, and I'm certainly not condemning my parents. I was raised in a very loving home. But because of the way that I went off the deep end, I determined that in my home, there wouldn't be any alcohol, period. Because I know the result, you know, and where that can lead. And it's bringing them under. Now it's up to them whether or not they decide that they're going to go that route or not. But it's to bring them under the training and admonition of the Lord, those things that the Lord has changed or transformed in your life. That mild discipline and calling attention to as a warning. That's what training and admonition of the Lord is. Just as the Lord has done and is doing in your life, mom and dad. Very important. To provoke is to anger alongside. To anger alongside. You understand that often your children are just a mirror. You know, they're just a little you a lot of times. If your child reacts with anger, it's probably because they're being addressed with anger, or they see that as a way to deal with the serious issues in life or to deal in relationships because that's what they've observed. Now, I understand there are some, you know, and there are exceptions to that. But if, you know, whatever's going on in your child, like wherever they're obstinate and stuff like that, sometimes it's wise to take a step back and really do some inventory and see if that's not what they're observing in the relationship between the husband and the wife, maybe in your life or, right? So, and understand this, that's never God's way. God's way is mercy and grace, and he disciplines out of love, never out of anger. You know, the picture of the prodigal. What are we told? The father was looking afar off, waiting for his son to return, not so that he could berate him and beat him down, but that he could lavish his love and his grace upon his son. We're to be the same way. We need to be, you know, I was thinking about this. I always wanted to, and I know that I was pretty stern for the most part, but I wanted to be the one that my kids called if there was ever any trouble. That they knew that I wasn't going to react off the cuff, but come alongside and help them. When God disciplines his children, when he disciplines you, it's never because he's angry with you. It's because he loves you. And what we need to understand, and we've talked about this, first of all, they're not the 10 suggestions. And they're not, so because God's a bummer and doesn't want you to enjoy life or have fun. The commands of God are never punitive. They are what is best for you. That's why he has given them. And he wants you to live in obedience to them because we're his children, right? And so now let's look at the commandment. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, and I often teach this too, but I find this interesting as I studied it a little bit more. We split the Ten Commandments as commandments 1 through 4 as our service to the Lord. Love the Lord your God. Don't have any idols, you know, any other gods before him, right? So those are our attitude, which we talked about honor is attitude, our attitude towards him. And then commandments 5 through 10 are our service to our fellow man, right? To humankind. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't steal. Don't murder. And we usually put honor your father and mother in with that. But Judaism and the Jewish tradition is they split it up 5 and 5 because they see honor your father and mother as one's service to the Lord, not to others. It is the first commandment of promise, Paul says. That command of promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, many find this promise confusing, even frustrating, because here's the truth. Many of us know and have seen young people who are obedient, they're loving, they we've come across them, who the Lord may have taken home at a young age. How do we reconcile what Paul says is the promise of the command with what we observe at times around us, young people being taken too soon? Well, that's not what Paul is pointing out as the promise. It's not the promise is direct, or it's not what the promise is directed at. God is sovereign. He alone determines the number of our days. We have to be okay with that. What the promise does address is the penalty for disobeying and dishonoring one's parents. The penalty in society, or the societal penalty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you don't, it's laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 21. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, verse 18, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The penalty was death in Hebrew society. And what the promise is that you obey your mother and father, you honor them, that you will have, your life will not be cut short because of the penalty for, right, disobedience. The word honor is to revere, give value to. It's actually from the Hebrew kavod, which speaks of the glory of God, and it means to give weight to. It's to, you know, and here's the thing. As we grow older, we no longer are called to walk in obedience to our parents. We become adults, and then our decisions are our responsibility. Yet we still, and for those of us that, you know, I still, you know, when my father was alive, I would call him for advice. We still look to them for counsel, godly counsel, those that will guide us correctly and stuff like that. So we're to give weight to that aspect of what role our parents play in our lives. And I hope that PJ and Hannah will give that weight to Beth and I. And that's one way of showing honor to our parents. But you understand this. Everyone here, sitting here today, is somebody's child. And to honor your mother and father is to be continued throughout your life. That's why it says for the children, I mean, to obey. But the command is further. It's to honor your father and mother. So obedience is the action. Honor is the attitude. In Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 9, this is when Jesus addressed it. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban. And what that is, and what the Pharisees and the priests allowed, when the responsibility of taking care of the mother and father in their old age fell upon probably the oldest son was the norm, and the son didn't want to do what traditionally and what he was expected to do, he could actually take money to the temple and give it to the priest and claim that it's a gift of God when it should have been used for taking care of the mother and father. And so Jesus addresses and says, you as priests and Pharisees and leaders, you've allowed this to happen when God said that you're to honor your father and mother. You're to take care of them in their old age. And so that's what he's saying with Corban. And you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So they made that a tradition. If you give it to the Lord, then you're not going to be held responsible for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You see, the tradition was that they brought you into this world. This is how you can really honor your parents, to be there for them as they transition from this world into eternity. And so This is, you know, in the picture and in the scope of the context of what Paul is writing, the what the godly family looks like and how that then coincides in it with God's commandment. And God commanded the children of Israel that they were to read the commandments and the word of God to their children so that it would go from one generation to the next to the next. And I, as I had pointed out, just one thing to consider, and I want to encourage you, those who have come out of relationships, out of homes where the parents weren't there or they were abusive, and maybe you're here holding a grudge this morning, you just can't be around them. You know, the commandment isn't that you're to obey them, but you can still honor them. And I want you to consider this. Whatever you held and whatever it caused in your lives, look, you have been transformed. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has transformed your life, and he's poured his grace and his mercy and love upon you. And you don't have to, you know, and I'm not saying that you need to, you know, change your attitude so much towards them, but by recognizing what God has done in your lives and the fact that God loves them for all the mistakes that they made, you can honor them by praying for their salvation, that God would transform them. Think of all the mistakes and everything that you've done that God says, that by his blood you have been cleansed from, and he remembers them no more. And you can honor, you're still honor your father or mother, regardless of what happened in the past, by praying for and hoping that for their salvation, that they would come to Jesus Christ. And in that, as a son or a daughter, honoring them, hopefully on into eternity. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just pray that we would be not only godly mothers and fathers, but we would be godly sons and daughters, recognizing, Lord, the love and the grace that you have poured out in our lives. Lord, not setting up rules for others to live by that we don't acknowledge in our own lives, but by examples, following, Lord, your word and honoring you in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, and Lord, that you would heal. Lord, we lift up mothers and fathers who have made grave mistakes. You took those things to the cross. And we ask, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, that you would go out and that you would open their hearts, that you would change their lives, and that in that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified. And we pray for our children, Lord, that may be struggling, that may be rebellious or rambunctious, Lord, that, Lord, your promise, if we've trained them up in the way they should go, if we've trained them up in godliness and in your truth, Lord, that they'll return to it just as we have. And Lord, for those of us that have young children right now, Lord, we pray that you would fill these homes with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide mothers and fathers by your Spirit to be the example, the godly example in their homes that their children need. And Lord, where they fail, we pray that you would step in and show your faithfulness. We just thank and we praise you for all that you have done. Help us, especially in these days, Lord, to be less like the world and much, much more like you. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.